Thank you for listening to a Midland Free Methodist podcast. We continue our series Movin' with this week's message, What You Learnin' on the Journey. Here's Pastor Gene.
All right. Do me a favor. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love snow. Can you do that? All right. Now, let me ask, how many of you were sincere? Yeah. Okay, good. You got to be a few. All right. Second question. How many successful hunters? How many just went hunting? And how many are looking forward to hunting the day after Thanksgiving? Yeah, that's my wife considers that hunting. I'm not sure that actually qualifies, but she considers that hunting. Some of you have genuinely asked me, you know, we moved from Florida. In fact, this whole series, that's why all this stuff is here. This isn't just getting it out of my living room, although it did help. This, we're talking about moving, and some of you have genuinely come up to me and said, so how's the Miata doing? Yeah, I moved from Florida with a Miata. It worked perfect there. This morning, I couldn't get into it. It was frozen shut. I even took a butter knife and tried to pry it open, and I couldn't get there, so Lois brought me. So, no, it's doing wonderful, sitting right in my driveway, covered in snow and ice. But appreciate your concern. Not sure you weren't sincere, but appreciate your concern. One of the things that you know, and we've been talking about this whole move thing, one of the things you know, and we talked about this, is it takes some planning, right? You don't just move. You don't wake up one morning and just move. You have to plan. There's a lot of things that go into it. We talked last week about where you're going, and you got to know where you're going. There's a cost. How many of you know if you move, you got to count the cost, right? There's a cost. You have to surrender and step out. Okay, I actually got to take that step of faith. We got to recognize that there are others on the journey. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. We have to be willing to adjust. How many know there's adjustments in the journey? Okay, yeah, we had to do that. And we have to celebrate what God accomplishes. So we talked about that last week. This week is, so what are you learning? So we took off on this journey, okay? And we're on this journey. What are we learning on this journey? There's a few things that we want to highlight, and I want you to think about this. But how many of you have made a really long trip? Like, when I say a long trip, like over 700, 800 miles. All right, you've done that, right? How many of you would say, and our first point in this is there's a lot of road, right? You go on that trip, and there's a lot of road. When I was younger, I used to try and do it in one fell swoop. The older I get, that's just not possible. It just doesn't work the same way. Seems to go on forever and ever, doesn't it? That long road. Do you know from Bradenton, Florida, where we moved to here, is 1,320 miles. I know some of you are doing this calculation in your head because I just know how you are, Toby. That's 7 million feet. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. That's some of you are going, that's a long ways. How many of you would say spiritually, the journey you're on, as you look back, and even now as you look forward, it looks like a long way, right? I mean, sometimes that's just the reality of it. Man, it looks like a long way. I know there's a destination. I know what he's calling me to. We talked about that last week, but there's a lot of road, right? One of the things that we want to talk about is we want to not be in such a hurry. Okay, be honest, let's do this again. I remember my trips. How many of you are just want to get there? Yeah, me too. I just want to get there. When we took off from Florida and we're on our, you'll learn to understand this about me. Some of you that know me know this is how I work. If I know something big's happening next Tuesday, you know what's going on in Gene's mind? All I got to do is get to Tuesday. It may not be pretty. I just got to get there. I got to, because I know when I get there, I just want the trip, but I have to be careful to not be in a hurry in my trip, and we're going to talk about that. The other thing that's true is others are on their own way, on their own journey, and walking their own walk. How many of you, when you driving down the road, like when we made this trip, I mean, I saw other people with trucks. Okay, I'm in this Penske truck, 26-foot truck I told you about. It was awesome. I was a big rig dude until I pushed the horn, and somebody put an escort horn in that thing. It said air horn. It didn't sound like an air horn. But how many of you have seen other trucks on the road? Other people you know that, and how many are like, yeah, they're doing their own thing. But let's be honest. How many of you, you're really just concerned about your journey, right? I mean, I'm concerned about me, right? I want to get here. But we have to recognize that there are other people on their journey walking their own way as well. And the other thing that we want to do, this is also funny. Now I'm going to take you, let's switch from moving to our spiritual journey. Let's switch real quick. How many of you would like people to be on your journey sometimes? You know, hey, I'm headed this way. If you could guys just relate with me, right? You're not being real patient. I had a hard day yesterday, and you're just not cooperating, right? I'm on my journey, and you're not going with me. And then how many, this is the other one. I wish I was on their journey. Their journey looks a lot better than my journey. You ever had that? Grass greener? Yeah. We have to be careful. We're on our journey. And they're on their journey. So there's a lot of road ahead. A lot of road ahead. What do we do when there's a lot of road ahead? What's the answer to that question, if you will? We got a lot of road. What's the answer to that? Well, it's dependence and trust on God. So that's your little fill in the blank thing. It's a dependence and trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. That's hard, isn't it? I like to lean on my own understanding. Why? Because I understand it. Right? Am I right? But God has a plan, and he has a road. And if we're on that road, if we're seeking him, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, it's okay to be on that road. And we have to trust in him. And what does it say? In all our ways, we have to do what? Acknowledge. Yeah, acknowledge or submit to him. And he'll make our path straight. That's not easy to do. So on this road, we're going to submit to him. The other thing that happens on this long journey is there's a bunch of unknowns. How many of you hate unknowns? I hate unknowns. I'm asking you to raise your hand up and down. That's okay. Keep doing it. All right. Because what I do know is when you do this, it counts. If you've got one of those things on your wrist, it counts your steps. You get credit. All right. So up and down, up and down. You get credit for steps at the end of the day, and you can thank me. All right. Quick sideline. I'm on a plane one time. I'm in the back of the plane, right? And we're deboarding. You know how long it takes to deboard from the back of the plane? You don't have to raise your hand. And so here's a guy, and he's sitting there. And I wish I was exaggerating. I'm not. This is when those first came out, right? He's sitting on the seat, ready to get off. And these people walk by, and I see him doing this. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? And I'm watching him just do this. I'm thinking, why? What's wrong with that guy? And then I recognize he's got one of those step counters on it. I'm thinking, you're a big cheat. You're going to get home and feel good about yourself because you stood on the plane and you're doing this, right? That's that. But how many, there are unknowns on that journey, right? And I hate those things. Over the last year, I can tell you, as we were seeking God and God's direction in our life, but Lois and I knew something was up. We knew probably a year and a half to 2 years ago, we knew something was up. And we began to pray and ask God, what is it that you're doing? Where are you leading? Where are you guiding? We knew something was up. And we had to learn to wait on God. Now, there's a real huge misunderstanding of what it means to wait on God. How do you normally wait? Impatiently and sitting there. Right? Pull out the lazy boy. It's time to wait on God. That's not the answer. with those unknowns in life that we're struggling and we're working through, whatever, we have to learn to wait on God, and that's an active waiting. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is so funny. This is what, how many of you have heard, draw nigh to God and he will draw near to you? Come near to God, he'll come near to you. How many of you heard that? Yeah. We love that part. I get close to God, he comes close to me. Yes. You didn't read the second half of the verse, did you? Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's huge. What is that act of waiting? It's washing my hands and purifying my heart to make sure that I'm where God wants me to be. So why? So that I can hear him as I'm waiting. It is not a sit back and a lazy boy. This is really cool, God. Just let me know when you're ready. It's not that at all. There's an active waiting. There's bumps in the roads. Have you been on a long trip? Bumps. Road construction. Gotta love road construction, right? Sometimes you feel like there's opposition. So what do we do with unknowns? What do we do with unknowns? What do we do with that? Those things that we just... Where am I headed, God? What are you doing, God? I'm not sure I can see all of it, God. What do we do? What's the answer to that? God's answer is his ways are higher than our ways. That's his answer. It says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. When you don't know where God's leading or what God's doing, get close to him, draw near to him, repent of things you need to repent of, get into his word, spend time with him in prayer, and then realize that his thoughts aren't our thoughts and his ways aren't our ways, and I'm okay with that, God. Now, what do we immediately want when that happens? An answer. We can't. It's not waiting. Right? Waiting. 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 The next thing is, how many of you have been on a trip and there's a fork in the road? There's a fork in the road. Decisions points. I love this. I got to tell you this. So Lois isn't here. Jeez, I can say whatever I want. She doesn't do well with change unless she's initiating it. Then she does good with it. But, and all of us are like that, right? But she has a GPS. This GPS is like 10 years old, right? She loves that GPS. She adores that GPS. She knows how to operate that GPS, which is why I think she likes to keep the GPS. But this GPS, because it's 10 years old, is really frustrating. So, example, you're driving down the road, and you'll see an intersection. You'll say First Street, and just as you pass through First Street, she says, please turn right on First Street. Really? And I can't tell you how many times that's happened with that GPS. It's very frustrating. You come to a fork in the road, you're not, whoa, it's gone, right? Then you hear what? What happens? Recalculating. Recalculating. You gotta love that. How many of you love detours? Yeah, I don't like detours either. How many of you have tried to find shortcuts around detours? Yeah. I did that not too long ago. I took this shortcut. I knew where I was going. Familiar with the area. I got this down, right? I thought, I know where they're going to take me, but I'm going. I made this huge, guess where I ended up? Right back at the beginning of the detour. That's true in our lives, isn't it? There are detours and we're like, God, please. We can shortcut this, right? And this is the one we love. I see what you're doing, God. I tell you what, I'm just going to head over here and we'll just save a little bit of time, all right, God? And we like to shortcut the detour. That's not what God's heart is. So what do we do if there are forks in the road, there are decision points, or there are teachers? What's God's answer to those? It's guidance and direction. So that's your little blank. It's filling in God's guidance and his direction. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How do we get God's direction and his guidance? Through his word. That's one of the ways. Get into his word. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak. Isaiah 30, 18 through 21. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up and show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. We're going to watch what that does with the last point we make. But let's keep going. Verse 19. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more, and your eyes will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Wouldn't we love that? This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. We want the this is the way, walk in it. What we don't want to do is what the first part talks about in verse 18. Blessed are all those who wait for him. What did we talk about waiting? Waiting is what? Active. In the word. In the fellowship of other believers. Time in prayer. That's what waiting is. When we're doing that, what happens? Then God guides us. And that's what this is talking about. The next thing, and this is one of my favorites. You guys are going to love this because I know, and I do want you to raise your hands when we walk through this because it's going to be kind of fun and embarrassing all at the same time. So the next thing is, on any trip, there's a need for fuel. How many of you run out of gas? Come on. Okay. Now, how many of you are lying? Here's what I saw. People looking around. What if anybody else run out of gas? And then they see a hand, and they're like, all right, come on. How many of you run out of gas before? Come on. Yeah. Some of you know this is a circle, so you wait till I turn around and you raise your hand behind my back so I can't see it. I know what you're doing. Don't we love to stretch it? Don't we? I can't tell you. I have been so fortunate. I have never run out of gas completely. However, I have pulled into a number of gas stations and sputtering started. I mean, it was close, right? Running on fumes. I got some interesting statistics for you. So guess fuel, we can liken that unto our body needs fuel, right? Guess how long a human can go, an average human, can go without water? 3 to 5 days. If you're really healthy, maybe an extra day. What about food? If you're really healthy and you've got access to water, pretty close to 8 weeks. But we need fuel. And isn't it interesting in our walk with God how we just want to keep walking? It's okay, God. We got this. I'll just keep walking. Just keep walking. We'll just keep walking. And we don't recognize our need for what makes us think that it's any different spiritually. You know, life's been busy, and God understands. I don't need to spend time in his word. In prayer, he understands, because life is busy right now. And he also knows the way he created me. I get distracted real easy. I mean, I'm being serious now. I'm ADD. They just didn't know what it was when I was little. They had no idea. I had my own little desk up next to every teacher all the way through fifth grade, because I was so special. It's interesting. It's interesting, though, in our walk with God, how we don't understand that need for fuel. So what's God's answer? What's God's answer to our need for fuel? Well, his answer is God's strength and growth in my life. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, or who strengthens me. I can do all things through him. Oh, we love to do this. We love to do this. God, I am off in life. Here we go. And God, if you don't mind, if I can attach you to me right now, I would love that. Right? God, I need your power to show up. Here I go. God, I need your power to show up. God, I see. Can I attach you? It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say I can do all things as I attach Christ to my life. It says I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's a little different. The picture I love is a highway. It's God's highway. Guess who does the merging? Us. We merge in with what God has. We don't go through life and attach God to who we are. We can do all things through him who gives us strength. Our need for fuel, God's strength, and the growth that takes place. Ephesians 6:10-12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Put on the full armor of God. Our need for fuel, put on the full armor of God. And you guys can read this on your own, verses 13 through 18 of that same passage. Thank you very much. Ephesians 6:13-18, it talks about those specific armor of God and what we can put on. Good, it's good stuff. So what's the fuel look like? What's the fuel look like? We talked about it. It's time in the Word, prayer, fellowship with other believers. I want to teach you something this morning. This is something that God taught me starting probably about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. If I'm honest, again, I told you the ADD thing, right? If I'm honest, when it comes time to pray, here's what Gene prays, all right? Something coming up. Dear God, there's a decision coming up. I pray that you give me wisdom and guidance in that decision. Help me to understand what you have, what you want to accomplish, and God, help me to be there and to walk with you through that. In Jesus' name, amen. Not a bad prayer, but honestly, what else do I pray? I got something coming up. God, you know I got something coming up. I want to pray about that something coming up. I want to make sure that I'm in the middle of your will as that something's coming up. I pray that you guide me as I get to that something's coming up, and now I don't know else to pray. So I pray for my kids. Dear God, please be with my kids. And I protect them, guide them. And I'm done. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You can do this in your heads, your hearts. Sometimes it's tough to pray. I mean, 15 minutes, I got everything done. Right? Let me teach you something. I learned to start praying circles around things. Let me show you what that looks like. So when we knew a couple years ago that God was doing something, and we're thinking, okay, he's up to something. What is it, God? What are you going to do? I actually took it a piece of paper. You're going to love this. My prayer started with this, a big question mark, right in the middle of a piece of paper. God, I know something's up. I'm not sure exactly what. I'm going to start praying about this big question mark. Started praying circles around that question mark. What did I know about that question mark? It was going to affect my family. So I started praying about my family and what that might look like and how God would be there. If we were going to move, would God be there for Kyle and Christina? If we were going to move, would God be there for Gloria? If we were going to move, were they going to come with us? I had no idea if it meant we were going to move in vocation or if we were going to move actually from Florida to someplace else. I didn't know that. But I began praying around my family for that. I began praying around the finances. I knew that if God was going to do something, it was probably going to be, there's going to be a financial need of some sort. So I started praying about that. I started praying about the finances. Let's assume maybe he's calling us to a ministry of some sort. I started praying for the finances of that ministry. I started praying for others to come alongside. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew that others were going to, we were going to come alongside others, or others were going to come alongside us. Start praying around those things. I started praying about the location. God, I don't know where it is. Is it here in Florida? Is it someplace else? Is it going to be in the middle of winter that I'm going to move to Michigan? I don't know, God, but I pray. Michigan wasn't on the horizon. I just threw that in there. You can tell how much I love it. So, but I started praying around those things with regard to location. What about my neighbors? Was I going to be in the neighborhood I was in? Was I going to be in a new neighborhood? What about my neighbors that God was going to pop me in the middle of? God, please be with those neighbors. Help me with the relationship with those neighbors. Help me to have influence with those neighbors so that they can be drawn to you wherever I am. God, be with my neighbors. Prepare them for me. Lord knows they're going to need to be prepared for me. Prepare me for them. What about health? Am I going to need health and strength to accomplish what God has wherever he's? I knew that was going to be one of the things. So I made all these circles around the question mark and started praying for all those things, and there were even more. I tell you what, all of a sudden my 15-minute prayer life turned into my, oh my goodness, I don't have time to pray for everything. Praying circles around stuff. The next thing was taking it all in. So you've been on a long journey. We talked about a bunch. You raised your hands. You're on a long journey. There's a lot to take in, right? There's beauty. When we came through Kentucky and Tennessee, there's some beauty. There was some real. The leaves were just changing when we moved. It was absolutely gorgeous with the hills. It was just beautiful. Sometimes there's hardship. This isn't really hardship, but it's kind of funny. So Lois is behind me in the car, and we're driving this 26-foot truck. And when you drive a 26-foot truck and you're going up a hill and it's loaded, there were times when I couldn't get over 40 miles an hour. She called me. Is that really all the faster that thing will go? Yes, honey. It's floored. Sometimes there's hardship. The long road that we talked about. Sometimes it's night. Sometimes it's day. Sometimes there's a change in seasons, and sometimes the view is just awesome. And we can take every one of those things, can't we? And we can apply it to our life. Sometimes there's beauty. Sometimes there's hardship. Sometimes there's a long road. Sometimes it's night. Sometimes it's day. Sometimes there's a change in seasons, and sometimes the view is awesome. On long trips, it contains usually different views, doesn't it? It's no different with our lives. In our spiritual lives, that sometimes the views are different as we go. So what's God's answer to taking it all in? What's God's answer to taking it all in? It's thankfulness. Wait a minute. Wait, okay. All right, you just went too far. My journey? Okay, now there are times when I understand the whole thankfulness. There are times, but really, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm gonna shift things on you, because what you're thinking, some of you are thinking this, I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, give thanks, come on. Now you're just trying to be positive. You're trying to make me see the blue skies when there's nothing there, right? Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes to give thanks. That's confusing. So let me give you a little different look at how to give thanks. How about giving thanks for a loving God who walks through, guides, leads, gives peace, strength, help, patience, in that journey. What about that? Journey may not be fun, but boy, I'm thankful I got God to walk through it with me. When Kyle was little, not many of you know this, some of you do. When Kyle was little, he was born without a soft spot up here, so that his head wouldn't collapse. So when you come through the birth canal, your head has to collapse. By the way, I got to do this. I'm so sorry. Aaron knows where I'm going. Watch this. These guys will confirm it. Sign language for birth. Come on, if it was really that hard, wouldn't they put some struggle in there? So anyway, I'm so sorry. There's that ADD-ness again. Okay, so in the birth process, ladies, I'm totally joking. I said that one time, and a lady looks at me. She says, "I wish kidney stones on you." I did. So far, everybody says it come true. I'm thankful because I'm kind of a wimp. But in that birth process, because his head wasn't, he didn't have a soft spot, his head wouldn't collapse. So Lois is pushing 4.5 hours, right? Pushing, and he won't come out. And so they do a C-section. Come to find out, he didn't have a soft spot. Very cool that they found that out at birth, because that can cause some issues later on. So at 6 weeks of age, this is going to sound gross, I really apologize, this is the PG-13 version, they sawed him open from here to here, rolled this forward, rolled that back, and cut a soft spot in his head. That was, for us as parents, way harder for us than it was for Kyle. We were petrified. World-renowned neurosurgeon came in and did the surgery. And as we're walking through that, I mean, there were pieces and times where we're like, this doesn't make sense. But there was a little boy in the same area as us. 8 months old, the size of a 2-month-old. Everything that that little boy took in, nothing nourished him, right through him. And they couldn't figure out what to do. The family didn't know Christ. I don't know how they did it. I don't know. Man, I'm thankful that when I walk through life, I've got God to walk through it with me. I am so thankful that I can cry out to my Heavenly Father that understands my emotions, understands the highs, understands the lows, understands the weirdnesses. And he's walking through it with me. I'm so thankful. Hebrews 12 and 13 says, 12, I'm sorry, 1 through 3 says this. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that he has set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It's so important that we run that race with endurance. We're on a journey. Run that race with endurance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I don't know where you are this morning, but this is what I know. I know we serve a good God. Some of you, things are just rocking. Life, man, for whatever reason, life is just great right now. Awesome. Give thanks and recognize that your Heavenly Father is right there next to you, and he's a good, good God. Some of you are going through struggles, or you have family members going through struggles, and you know what? You still serve a good, good God that wants to walk through that with you. Some of you got stuff going on in the inside. Some of you, you have issues. Some of you, your issues have issues. You serve a good, good God that walks through, that wants to transform you so those issues end up looking more like Christ. We serve an incredible God. Pastor Eric is going to sing a song over you. I want you to do me a favor. If you feel comfortable, I want you to just close your eyes and allow these words to just minister to you. Allow God through his Holy Spirit to take these words and churn some things in your heart. And I want you to celebrate that good, good God that walks with us in this journey.
I'm so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplained.